We can turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10. So we've been talking about the names of Christ, and specifically here, we're going to take a look at the name that is given as Judge, the Judge, and there's various different forms of it used throughout Scripture. But this is, again, just like many of the others, again, points to his deity, Christ's deity, points to the Trinity, points to him being God specifically. But also there is a much greater implication when we start thinking about this concept of him judging people. And in Acts chapter 10, and we see here Paul is talking to those that are in Athens, and he goes through and begins preaching on Mars Hill, saying several things about who Jesus is in verse 38 and talking about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and then going through and talking about how they crucified him and he was raised up. And as we get down here to verse 42, we see this concept that he is mentioning that is, again, an Old Testament concept. And he says in verse 42, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead." Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be here this morning. And Lord, regardless of any events or anything that may have taken place earlier, Lord, we just pray that our hearts, our minds would be fixed upon you during this time. The Lord, we give you all glory, honor, and praise with our attention and with our humbleness of heart, Lord, to receive the instruction, to receive the truth, the doctrine that is contained herein. And Lord, I just pray that you would just be with each one of us, speak to us, teach us. Lord, you'd be with me and my voice and just, Lord, my mind, and that all of this would be pleasing unto you and pleasing in your sight. And these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. My voice keeps waffling in and out for some reason. I guess I'm going to have to go see a doctor about that one too, right? I'm sorry, but I am tired of seeing doctors. When we're talking about this here that Paul mentions, he makes it very clear that he is doing what the Lord has commanded him to do, specifically Christ. And that is that as part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is saying Jesus is going to judge people. Now, that right there is something that when we begin to realize that throughout Scripture he's talked about this, that he's talked about it in future events, which we know at the Great White Throne, there's going to be a judgment. We understand that as believers, we are going to be judged on what we have done for Christ and what the motive behind it was, not just the number of works, but with if you will, the quality, what we built with. Did we use the things that God gave us, or did we try to take a bunch of things of man and use that? So as we look at this from Scripture, it becomes very clear that God is saying there is going to be a judgment. And we realize that as soon as you get into the book, you realize that things are going to have to be judged at some point in time. We find in Genesis chapter 6, God judged. He looked at the earth and said, "This cannot continue," and ended that. But now, you know, we keep looking at, and here's the thing that always gets me. You know, the Bible talks about as in the days of Noah, talking about the last times, and the Lord hasn't come back yet. I'm like, how much worse does it get? I have to get? I don't think we've seen the tip of the iceberg, in my opinion. I think things can get a lot worse, and while we look at it from a Western world perspective, I will say this, there are still souls being saved. There are still souls being saved. Right now, one of the fastest, Christianity is one of the fastest growing, I don't want to necessarily call it religion, but that's what they're saying in the statistics, but it is growing at an immense rate in a country you wouldn't think it would be. And it's in Iran. Why? Because people are tired of being under bondage of Islam. People are tired of dealing with those things. And there's a lot that plays into prophecy with all of that, and we get that. But again, what we begin to see is we see that the Lord is going to judge people in the end. He's done it before. And again, let's just be clear on this. He is not pronouncing the condemnation. The condemnation came when we sinned. We condemned ourselves. We were the ones that chose that sentence. We were the ones that chose death. And that was directly because of our own choosing. And we see that this is an Old Testament doctrine, as I mentioned. And if you go over to the book of Psalms, in Psalm chapter 37, Psalm chapter 37, and again, there are multiple passages. That slide would be very, very small and very hard to read in the font. But I want you to see this. And this is what a lot of people don't get. And it says here in verse 28, "For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." Now I want you to take a look here. He talks about two people. He talks about saints, and he talks about wicked. And let's be clear, we know that we are saints because God calls us saints. We are called to be saints, meaning that you are supposed to be saintly, and we talked about that before, about what it means to be a saint. But what we know is that there are others that are out there that are rejecting the Word of God. And those are people that the Lord says that those people are wicked. And we see those two individuals. And we know that we are going to be judged as saints, and we know that they're going to be judged, and as the Bible says, based on their works over there in Revelation. Now, that doesn't mean that they get into heaven based on their works. What that means is God says, okay, have you ever sinned? Yes, okay, well, you're guilty of death. Well, I only sinned once. Okay, well, we'll give you a little death. it's still death. But what we see here is very clear in the very first part of this verse. It says, "For the Lord loveth judgment." The Lord loveth judgment. Why? Because judgment is part of righteousness. Judgment is part of holiness. Judgment is part of justice. And all of those are Him. You cannot separate those from Him, otherwise He would not be God. So what the Lord looks at is He says, "Lord," or He says to us, mankind, He says, "Look, I'm going to judge what is right and what is wrong. And I'm then going to tell you what is right and what is wrong." That's why we have the Bible. Amen? That tells us what is right and what is wrong. It gives us the guidance. It gives us God's judgments that we take in our lives and we say, "Lord, thank you for being the judge and making this clear to me that this is sin and this is righteous." God loves this. He loves the judge. And what we find here is He's going to judge those that are going to reject Him, that are going to reject Him. He makes it clear here that He loves His saints, and He's what? Going to preserve them. Still going to be judged. Even if you were to get to heaven and do nothing for Jesus Christ, you're still there. I told you the other day that there was a horrible statistic that 75 or 76% of Christians today think that God wants them to be wealthy, and there's I don't want to say televangelist anymore because I don't even know if he's on TV, but he's one of those people that has all sorts of broadcast things going out about him and his stuff and so on and so forth. And he was talking about how prosperity, if you don't believe in prosperity, that you're going to go to hell. And I'm like, okay, I don't think that's true. And there's no scriptural foundation. And he was talking about, if somebody gets to heaven and starts criticizing God on his building materials of gold, silver, precious stones, that the Lord's going to say, you need to go to hell and cast them out. I'm like, wow, that's not in the Bible anywhere. I will tell you this, when I get to heaven and I see everything built that way, I don't think I'm going to criticize God on anything. I think I'm going to fall down on my knees and just be in awe and worship Him and just do exactly what you find over there with the 24 elders and the four beasts that are around there and start singing, holy, 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 amen? I don't think I'm going to be criticizing Him on anything. I'm there by His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. What right do I have to do anything? And so, again, I'm not going to say it makes me question that guy's salvation, but it makes me question his doctrine, what he's preaching. And it's not biblical. But I say all that to say this, God discerns, God judges what is right, what is wrong. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that he's going to judge people in the end. Go over to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25. Here we have Abraham saying something about God, and he had a very clear understanding of who God is. Amen? Abraham was called the friend of God. And that is a title that, you know, I don't want to say I wish I could ever get there, but the Lord talks about how to be a friend to him. And he makes it very clear over there in the book of John. If you keep his commandments. That's pretty simple. And Abraham did that. And we find that in verse 25, he says here, that it be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And this is where he's pleading for Sodom and those individuals that are there, and specifically Lot and his family. And that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be it far from thee, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now I want you to notice what he calls him. Judge of all the earth. All the earth. There is not one person, one man, woman, child, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of background, regardless of education, regardless of what prestige, lineage, whatever it is, that will not stand before God. We're talking about billions of people. Right now they say there's close to 8 billion or over 8 billion people and the earth is overpopulated and blah, 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 blah. I will tell you this. There have been billions more. Billions more. There were millions before on this earth, there have been billions throughout ages that have been here on this earth. And every last one of them, from the pauper to the king, will stand before God. Abraham knew God, the Lord, is judge of all the earth. Not just part of it. Not just some of it. Paul says the quick and the dead, those that are alive and those that have passed on, they will all be judged. They will all be judged. I mean, you think about that, that's wild. It kind of boggles the mind when you start thinking about it because there's not a lot said about it. So it makes my mind kind of wander into areas and territory that the Lord clearly says, you don't know, so don't worry about it, amen. But you think about that for a moment. You got somebody over there that's in the millennial reign, and the lifespans are a lot longer in the millennial reign, and that person is in the millennial reign, and let's say they're born just halfway through. So they live to be 500-something years old. But they don't die. But it's the end. And there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. So what does he do? He pulls all those people off, and they all stand before God at the great white throne. They didn't necessarily die. And that just kind of blows my mind there for a moment, sitting there thinking, whoa, okay. Kind of like us, if the Lord comes back and takes us out of here, we don't die. People are like, well, the Bible says that everyone's going to, you know, death and so on and so forth. Yeah, because there is a death that happens when you sin, and there is a second death that awaits you. We got to, you know, again, let's understand this concept of, you know, when death is being spoken of, it many times it is in a spiritual sense, not necessarily a physical sense. We have to take a look at all those things. You know, the Bible says when the soul sinneth, it shall die over there in the book of Ezekiel. I mean, we make it very clear that there is a death that is involved that is spiritual, that is not a physical death. And a lot of people are afraid of the physical death. They need to be more afraid of what the second death looks like. Because that is the lake of fire, and that is not a good one. People need to understand that. But here we find it is very clear he's going to judge all the earth. Go over back to the book of Acts. Take a look at what, again, Paul says here in Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I kind of say this tongue-in-cheek, but if there's one thing that you know about Paul when you read Paul, is Paul read his Bible. The Bible he had at the time as he's writing it, amen? He read those things. Again, just as a reminder, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, so he had to know those things. He learned all those things. Could you imagine the epiphany of when he sits down and he begins to realize how the Lord has used all those things during that 3-year download that he got from God? All those things in the past, all that history, all that scripture that they had, and how it just opens up and begins to reveal things to him where he had been blind before. I mean, that's an amazing thing. That goes into his conversion about being, you know, physically blind and then, you know, seeing stuff. I can get into that, but it's very clear here that it, as Paul is continuing to preach and continuing to do these things, he understands that concept, the Old Testament concept, that God is going to be the judge of all the earth. In verse 31 of Acts chapter 17, it says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world. He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. And that was very clear what we've seen if you go back over there to where we just were in Acts chapter 10. We see some things. And what we find is as we go through this, and we read all of this, we know that he's going to judge in a certain way. And he's going to judge in righteousness. He's going to judge in righteousness. And here we are seeing all these things. And I'm sorry, beforehand, I got mixed up. That was Peter that was talking over in Acts in chapter 10 with Cornelius. This is Paul in Athens here. But what we find is we find that the Lord uses Paul to describe how this is going to be done. You know, there's some judges today that are not judging righteously. There are some that, whether it's from the Supreme Court all the way down to circuit courts to district courts to cities and municipalities and so on and so forth, we know there are judges that don't make the right call. There are judges that judge unrighteously. They judge in sin. You know, God's not going to do that. And when you think about that, he's going to put out that standard of how people are going to judge. Or excuse me, how he's going to judge people. And how is that? That's with righteousness. Well, who's righteousness? Did you ever think about that for a moment? If he's going to judge in righteousness, and there's the standard, there's, if you will, the law, and we know the verse that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. We know that our righteousness is filthy rags. I don't want to stand in front of God and have that righteousness of myself be judged. Because he warned over there in Romans chapter 10, where he said that they, the Israelites, had a zeal for God, but the one thing that they were seeking was their own righteousness, not God's. Not God's. I don't want to be judged in my righteousness. Because I've done things that I thought were right that were questionable. And if I'm going to put it against the standard of what God has, then I know I'm going to fail. You know what righteousness I need? I need Jesus Christ. And there it is. How am I going to be judged? And if God has imputed His righteousness, Christ's righteousness, unto me, then that's how that judgment's going to be. But He's going to judge the world in righteousness. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. Go over to Romans chapter 2. This is, again, important because he establishes how he's going to judge. You know, a good judge is going to do that which is right. Now, if you've got somebody that is, it's very clear that they've done something, and let's use my proverbial sin, okay? Let's go back to robbing the bank. I'll put myself there. I'm on video. By the way, I have not robbed a bank, nor do I have any intention of robbing a bank. So just keep that in mind. But I go in, I rob the bank. I'm seen by the teller, because I'm not wearing a mask, because masks are illegal in Washington. Sorry, shouldn't have said that. Anyways, moving on. I'm seen by the teller. I'm seen by three other people that are in line. I'm on video. They got my license plate of my car. I left fingerprints. I coughed and left DNA all over the windscreen or the screen there. I mean, I'm found with the money. I'm arrested with the money. I stand before the judge. And the judge looks at it and says, we're just going to give him that's fine. You're free to go. Most people would be like, wait, what? That's wrong. That's a bad judge. You go through and you study what God is as a judge, and you find that's not him. Take a look at what he says in chapter 2 and verse 2 of the book of Romans. He says, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Truth. Truth. You ever judge something and in the process of judging it, you lie to yourself about it? We do that frequently. We look at something and we pronounce judgment. We go, I'm pretty sure I can do that. Kids do that. That's how they begin to learn judgment. Sometimes you got to let them make their own mistakes. You know, as long as it's not too severe of a, you know, consequence of, you know, broken bones and stuff like that. But, you know, there you are looking at a situation where, hey, I think I can do this. I think I'm capable of doing it. Guys do that, right? They'll grab something, they'll take a look at a car, and they'll go, I can fix that. I can fix that. They begin to pull the car apart. And about halfway through, they realize they are in over their head. They lied to themselves. They're like, I can do this. You're looking at a canyon and you got your bike and you're going to try to jump it. I can do this. You're looking at the third story of a building and you're going, yeah, I can jump down there and make it and not hurt myself. I can do this. We misjudge things because of the lies that we tell ourselves. God is going to do it in truth. There isn't going to be a lie. Righteousness and truth are essential in the judgment process. You cannot judge correctly if you are judging off of false information. You cannot judge correctly with false information. Go over to 1 Samuel. I want you to see a couple of passages here. We'll run right through these. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Just again, these are some things to reinforce what we just were talking about. And we find here where there's a prayer, and we see specifically what is said. And it says in verse 10, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven he shall thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. And he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Now this is very, very clear here. That, you know, as part of this, there's an understanding that he's going to judge the ends of the earth. You know, a lot of people don't grasp that today. They don't understand that concept. They think that they're not going to stand before a holy God and be judged. They think they're going to get a free pass. They think that he doesn't exist. Whatever it is going to be, there will be a judgment. There will be a judgment. It's the ends of the earth, from one end to the other. Again, no one is going to be free from that. Let's go over to the book of Psalms again. Psalm chapter 7. Psalms have a lot to say about his judgment and his word being the source of truth and righteousness in the judgment. But I want you to notice something very clear here in Psalms chapter 7, verse 11. That first phrase should kind of give you pause. Over there it says in the New Testament, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Amen. I want you to think about this here. Here he says in verse, holy God, excuse me, in verse 11, it says, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. There is righteous anger, amen? There's righteous anger with somebody that refuses the Lord, that refuses his principles, that refuses his word, and refuses his judgments. But I want you to see here very clearly, God is not just going to judge those that are his enemies. Who is being judged here? The righteous. God judgeth the righteous. That should give us pause. Now look, we know where our sins are. Our sins are taken care of. Our sins are under the blood. But God's still going to judge you. God's still going to go through that process. Go over to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Supporting what we just saw. God's going to judge everyone, and how is he going to do it? In truth and righteousness. In verse 2, it says, for true and righteous are his judgments. Talking about the Lord our God. True and righteous are his judgment. For he judges the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again, you know, he's talking about what's going to happen here with, you know, mystery Babylon. And what we find is very clear here. He's talking about some judgment in that regards. But again, how is he going to judge it? He's going to judge it true and righteous. You know, sometimes we make judgments, but we make judgments out of emotion. You ever make an emotional judgment call? They can be pretty bad. You can get some buyer's remorse pretty quickly. You can step back from the situation, you know, a day or a couple of days later, or even, you know, some years later, and sit there and go, wow, that was a really bad call. I injected my emotion into it. I injected anger. I injected fear into the situation, and I made those decisions based off of my fears and not trusting God and my anger that was sinful. We can make bad judgment calls. We can make it with falsehoods, like I said. We can make it in sin. But God isn't like that. And that is why it is important to understand He is the judge. I mean, we have a book called Judges. And that is how God had set up this the nation of Israel, that they were being judged and they were being guided by these judges. God would raise them up in certain times. But again, the way that people would judge the things, if you take a look at it, there was those that God put into place that would judge, and they would judge a certain way, and then there would be deliverance. But then there was that repeating phrase, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That is a judgment that they made. It's my truth. It's what I believe. I guarantee you, it's not what you believe. I guarantee you, it's not what you believe. It's your opinion. Beliefs have to have firm, foundational facts and doctrine associated with it. If it doesn't have those, it is your opinion. It's your opinion. You just go, well, this is what I think it is. Okay, well, what's it based off of? Well, I don't know, you know, just kind of... But what is that? A true belief is based off fact. I'll give you an example. The Bible, it says that the devils believe and tremble, right? They know who Jesus Christ is. They know who God is. They know that Jesus Christ is God. And they believe and tremble. Now, they don't believe unto salvation, but they believe because they know it's a fact and it's true. We talked about that the other day when we saw those, a couple of instances where there were certain devils and unclean spirits that were what? Testifying Jesus Christ is who He says He is. They knew. I mean, he didn't need an introduction. He didn't need somebody coming up and saying, "Hey, this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord over all," and so on and so forth. No, they knew. They knew, without a shadow of a doubt. Why? Because they had factual evidence. It wasn't an opinion. It wasn't an opinion. But what we find is that when it comes to things that we judge, it needs to be based off of those truths, those facts, and understanding that God is the only judge. And it's not about what we do right in our own eyes or the judgments of man. God does appoint judges, but let's understand, He is a judge over those people. He's the only judge. Well, we have men on earth that judge in certain matters, such as traffic violations, criminal and civil law. The central thing that we need to be concerned with is that He is the judge of all mankind. He is the judge of all mankind. This isn't a traffic violation. Sin is not an infraction of the laws of the road. Sin is much more egregious. Sin, as we see in Scripture, should be viewed as exceeding sinful. Sin should make us sick. Sin should cause us pause. Sin should be something in our life that when we look at it, we go, "Ew, I don't want any part of that." We need to be concerned with that. Turn over in to the book of Psalms again, Psalms chapter 50, and we find that God is going to judge all mankind. He's going to judge His people. Psalm chapter 50. He's going to judge those that are His. here we have a situation where he's talking about Israel. We know he's going to judge his people. And it says in verse 4, it says, he shall call to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. And you go down a little further in verse 7, and you find exactly who he's talking to. God is going to judge Israel. God is going to judge Israel. People are making a big deal about Israel now, and whether we support them or not. I will be very clear. I support Israel. I do not support their government. Because their government is corrupt, and the government is full of sin and things of that nature. But I'm not going to do anything in any way, shape, or form to go against God's people. I'm not going to put my hand against them. Anyway. I understand that there's men that are there, and those men sometimes make very bad judgment calls because they are in sin. But what I find is the Lord's going to handle that. It's better to let God handle the judgment. Better let God handle the judgment. We go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3, we know what passage we're talking about here. We're talking about the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, and let's see, you know, let's not sit there and go, whew, wow. Well, God's going to judge Israel. I guess I get off. Nope. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. He's going to use a certain way to go about and, you know, take a look at what our works are and what they consist of. Go over to Romans chapter 14, and what we find is that this is exactly what he's talking about. Romans chapter 14, and in verse 10, it says, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And then he goes into how we're supposed to judge. The first thing that we judge is not the other person and their actions. We judge, how am I not going to be a stumbling block to that person's growth, that person's walk in Christ, their walk with Christ. First thing we do is we judge ourselves before we even open our mouths in judgment, before we set our heart towards judgment. First stop is us. We have to ask that. We have to do those things. But what we find here is it says here, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ in verse 10. And that's what we're talking about over in 1 Corinthians 3. We're all going to stand. All believers are going to stand there. Nobody gets a free pass. Nobody gets a free pass. I'll go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 30. In verse 30 it says, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. Well, who's that? That's God. That's God. Don't ever go on a vengeance quest. Don't ever try to get back at the other person. It will not end well for you. As a matter of fact, it will end horribly. But here, because why? You're stealing from God. But in verse 30, in the last part, it says, and again, the Lord shall judge his people. Let the Lord do the judgment. Let the Lord do the judgment when it comes to those things. He's going to judge his people. The second part that we see is over there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he's going to judge everyone. He's going to judge all mankind, as we've seen. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and in verse 17, It says, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Everything we do, there's a purpose behind it. There's a time for it. Everything that we're doing, there's a right way, there's a right timing for everything. There's a right timing for everything. We don't do timing well. You know what a great comedian does? A great comedian has perfect and impeccable timing. That's what makes it funny. Because they can get it like that. Somebody that is a great orator has the perfect timing, saying the right things at the right time. But here God says, I'm going to judge every work because I'm going to judge everyone. Take a look at chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. The conclusion of the whole matter. Verse 13. It says, for let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. We got a problem with people fearing God today, but fear God and keep His commandments. And if you do those two things, you're on the right path. For this is the whole duty of man. And He says, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He is going to take a look at it and say, okay, is it good or is it evil? You wanted the tree of the garden, or a tree in the garden of the knowledge of good and evil. All right, I'm going to judge whether it's good and whether it's evil. Did it edify or did it tear down? Did it go against God or did it go for His glory, honor, and praise? Every work is going to be brought into judgment. Go over to 1 Peter. Take a look at two more verses. In 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter says, again, same thing. Just like we saw in Acts chapter 10, and I know I said that was Paul. Paul, you start messing around with a dyslexic with the same first, it just, you know, it's going to happen, all right? But this is Paul that was speaking in chapter 10, and here we find Peter that was speaking in chapter 10, and then we're going to find specifically, again, Peter saying something very similar in verse 5, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead in verse 5. He's ready to judge right now. Why? Because He's seen everything. He's God. And He knows the hearts. Remember when He was over there and He looked at those individuals, those Pharisees that were standing there in judgment of Him about healing on the Sabbath day when He was going to heal the man with the withered hand? And He asked him if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, and they wouldn't answer Him at all because they knew either way it was going to end bad for them. So what did the Lord do? The Lord looked on them with anger, righteous anger. Why? Because He saw the hardness of their hearts. God can see our hearts. God knows our hearts, and He's ready to judge. He's ready to judge the quick and the dead, live and those that have passed. And going over to Revelation chapter 20, we'll take a look at this final thing. And the final thing is this. In the end, all will stand before God. All will stand before Him as a judge. And it says right there, it's back up to verse 11, and it says, and I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And this is talking about Jesus Christ. And it says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Just called Jesus God. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. That's where people get that whole, oh, it's works-based, because they read that verse. But I'll tell you this, they don't read the next part. As you go through and get down to this in verse 13, it says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire." This is the second death. And it says, "And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." How do you get in the book of life? Jesus Christ, His righteousness, His shed blood, His payment on the cross, and the power of His resurrection. Romans chapter 10. "Whoso calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's how you get in that book. If your name isn't found in that book, doesn't matter what works you've done. It doesn't matter what works you've done. God will still be the judge of you. He is the judge. The only one that we really, really have to concern ourselves with, because we're talking about eternity at this point. Now, yeah, we obey the judges in the things that are done here. The Lord tells us to. Very clear, we find that the Lord makes this a title, a name for Him as judge of all the earth. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank You for the time. Thank You again, Lord, for this opportunity to study the name, the judge. And Lord, I pray that we would take an understanding that we will all stand righteous and wicked before You. And Lord, again, I thank You for it. Because Lord, in that judgment, it will be Your righteousness, Your shed blood, Your book of life that will be the final determination, and not me. And Lord, again, I just thank You for all of that. I pray these things in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.